Yeah, just declare it. I'll take care of it. So for someone or several or for each of you who are here, there is something in the Word of God for you tonight. It may be all of it. It may be just a little part of it. It may only be a tiny little thing that I might say. It might only be the line out of a song that we've already sung. You may have already had your need met tonight by the Spirit of God. So as we read His Word and as we study tonight out of the Word, as the Word's preached, you be attentive to the Word because it's profitable to you. It's inspired by God and it'll benefit you. What is it the fellow says that it'll help you? Besides what, it'll do you good. So you listen carefully to the Word of God tonight as it comes forth. Out of the book of 2 Chronicles, the 8th chapter, beginning to read at the first verse, and then jumping down to the 11th, 2 Chronicles chapter 8. And it came to pass at the end of 20 years, wherein Solomon had built the house of the Lord and his own house, that the cities which, this is verse 2 now, which the cities which Hiram had restored to Solomon, Solomon built them and caused the children of Israel to dwell there. Verse 11. And Solomon brought up the daughter of Pharaoh out of the city of David unto the house that he had built for her. For he said, My wife shall not dwell in the house of David, king of Israel, because the places are holy, whereunto the ark of the Lord hath come. Then Solomon offered burnt offerings unto the Lord on the altar of the Lord, which he had built before the porch, even after a certain rate every day, offering according to the commandment of Moses, on the Sabbaths and on the new moons and on the solemn feasts, three times in the year, even in the feast of unleavened bread and in the feast of weeks and in the feast of tabernacles. And he appointed according to the order of David his father the courses of the priests to their service, the Levites to their charges, to praise and minister before the priests, as the duty of every day required. The porters also by their courses at every gate, for so had David, the man of God, commanded. And they departed not from the commandment of the king unto the priests and Levites concerning any matter or concerning the treasures. Now all the work of Solomon was prepared unto the day of the foundation of the house of the Lord, and until it was finished, so the house of the Lord was perfected. Now, as the Lord told me to read this scripture, and I don't know whether the Lord deals with you this way or not, but as I go before the Lord seeking Him as to what He would have me to share, I just ask Him straight out, just as I would you or anybody else. I mean, after all, our God is a living God, isn't He? He's not a dead God. Jesus said that He's not the God of the dead, but He's the God of the living. Well, if He's alive, He surely can hear us. And if He's alive, He can surely speak to us. Well, if He can hear us and if He can speak to us, then why ought not we go to Him and talk to Him, just like I'd talk to Brother Mike, or like I'd talk to Sister Bonnie, anybody. He's a living God. He hears and He speaks. So when I want to know something, I go to Him and I say, Father, this is what I need to know. And I expect Him to give me an answer. Praise God, He does. So as I was thinking about the message for tonight, I said, Lord, what would you have me bring? Now, some of you have never had this happen to you because you don't really believe God. And He said, 2 Chronicles chapter 8. Now, He's told me like that often enough that I know when He says 2 Chronicles chapter 8 that that's what He means, 2 Chronicles chapter 8. And it wouldn't do me any good to ask Him, are you sure, Lord, isn't there something maybe in the New Testament that you'd have me do? Or maybe isn't there something that's a bit more familiar that I could take care of and it wouldn't require as much time and I just go ahead and preach something I already know? But that wouldn't do me any good. All that would do is just keep me hours before the Lord trying to find out what He had. And finally, we'd get back to 2 Chronicles chapter 8. That's the way it works. That's the way He's teaching. So I began to read in 2 Chronicles chapter 8 and I read this story and I said, well, Lord, I said, it's very interesting. I remember about Solomon, he was a great king. He was a son of David and Bathsheba. He was heir to the promise that had come down through the lineage of David. He was the one that God had promised to bless, whose kingdom He promised to bless. He was the one that back in the beginning of His kingdom, when God appeared to him and said, Solomon, as king of my people, what would you have me give unto you? You remember what Solomon asked Him for? He said, give me wisdom, God, that I might be able to judge thy people with equity and with truth. The Father God gave Solomon great wisdom, greater than any of the kings in all the earth, and along with that also great riches and great wealth. And Solomon did have a kingdom that was second to none in all of the world. He was the greatest king probably that the world has ever known. The scripture says that he had more wisdom than any man before him or after him, given to him by God. And he was the man whom God had appointed to build his holy temple in which the presence of God would dwell. But the passage we're reading about tonight is 20 years after the building of the temple. And I read that and I said, well, it's a good story about Solomon, but I don't see anything in there. He said, read it again. I went back and read it again. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry, I still don't see anything. He said, read it again. And I read it again. And I thought maybe I had the hint of something, and I said, no, Lord, that can't be it. He said, read it again. This is the way the Lord deals with me when I'm open to him. And I went back and read it again, and then it began to come more clearly. Those of you who remember the story of Solomon know that while Solomon was a great king, and while he had a mighty ministry for Almighty God, and while he was the greatest king that God's nation Israel ever had, that Solomon in his last days did not honor God. He didn't serve God. Something happened to him in those intervening years from the time he built the temple of God until the end, at the time he died. He was not the great king and the great servant of God that he had been for many years. What God wants us to see tonight, I believe, is why that happened. Solomon became a man who was trying to live a double life. He was a man that tried to live two lives, one before God, the other in his own private dwelling. Did you see it in the passage that we just read? Let's go back and look at it again in verse 11. It's all there. And Solomon brought up the daughter of Pharaoh out of the city of David unto the house that he had built for her. For he said, my wife shall not dwell in the house of David, king of Israel, because the places are holy whereunto the ark of the Lord hath come. He built a separate house for his heathen wife. God had spoken to the children of Israel way back before they'd ever come into the land that they were not to take wives or unequally join themselves or yoke themselves to heathen people. And Solomon knew about that, but yet he took the daughter of Pharaoh to be his wife. And he did it to make a military alliance. You see, it was an act of convenience. He knew he'd done wrong. He knew that in the eyes of God, because of her heathen worship, that she was unclean in God's sight. And so what did he do? He built her a separate house. He built her a private little place over here separate in his life where he could hide her from God. For he said that the house of David is holy where the ark of the Lord has come. And then he would go into the temple daily and he'd make his sacrifices before God. And he'd bring his lambs, and he'd bring his oxen, and he appointed the priests and the Levites and all those to go into the temple of God. And there they stood with their hands raised, and they gave lengthy prayers, and they sang their praises unto God. All the while, Solomon had this heathen woman stuck back in a special place in his palace. He was living two lives. One life he lived before God, another life he lived in private. I don't know whether he didn't think God knew about that or what, but God knew. Turn back to the book of 1 Kings, the 11th chapter, and we begin to see what Solomon had in his heart and what happened. 1 Kings, the 11th chapter, beginning to read at the first verse. Now listen carefully, for what I've just been sharing with you is some of that is in this scripture, and you'll see it as we go through. But King Solomon loved many strange women. Now when the Bible says many strange women, what it means is many women not of his persuasion. Many foreign women, in other words. together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Well, there was Solomon. Not only did he have the daughter of Pharaoh hidden in a special palace, he also had all these Moabite, Ammonite, and all these other ones that you can't pronounce. Of the nations concerning which, listen to this, the Lord had said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. As sure as God had said, this is what will happen, it happened. To the wisest man that ever lived, before or since, if you disobey the word of God, you're in for it. Makes no difference the wisdom that God has given you. If that wisdom is not sufficient to keep your heart wholly on God, you're asking for trouble, as Solomon was. Verse 4, for it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Now remember, David was a man that had gone off and committed adultery with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. But David, when he heard of what his sin was, and when he was convicted by the Spirit of God, as Nathan the prophet spoke it forth, what was his reaction? He repented. He turned away from that. His heart was not the same as Solomon's heart. Solomon's heart was turned away from God. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. And this I want you to mark. He went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. These are gods now, heathen gods. Solomon built altars and high places in the mountains for his heathen wives to worship at. He began to worship there himself. And likewise did he for all his strange wives which burn incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Verse 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend thy kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in the days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. God said, because of what you've done, because you've turned your heart away from the Lord, and because you have worshipped me with sacrifices and offerings, but your heart is not in it, because your heart is not perfect toward me and not fully tuned toward me, I will take thy kingdom away from thee. Now, what does that have to say for us today? We understand Solomon. Solomon did not die a happy man. Solomon died a man unhappy, disappointed, hurt, broken. Not with the riches and the wisdom that God had given him when his kingdom was mighty. But that was many hundreds of years ago. What about us? Is there something in here for us? I believe there is. Turn over to the book of Matthew in the 6th chapter, the 24th verse, a very familiar verse. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot, no matter how hard you try, serve two masters. You cannot serve God and someone else. You will either serve God or you will serve the someone else. Now think about that. Jesus said, you cannot. It is absolutely impossible for you to live a double life. You cannot serve anybody and God at the same time. You can't serve two. Now, some of God's people are trying to do it. Some of God's people are employed in situations where they must serve God and also the devil. Some people are in marriages where they are struggling, where the partners are not equal in their relationship to the Lord, where their openness is not the same to the Lord. And they're trying to serve the mate and also God at the same time. You can't do it. You can't do it. You will pull yourself apart. You will literally split yourself apart. You must decide who is the Lord of your life. You must make it known in your own heart who is God for you. Is it God or is it another? Elijah on Mount Carmel said to all of the people of Israel one day, he said, if God be God, serve him. If God be God, serve him. So many people that I see, and I talk to them, I see how difficult it is for them. I see how they're struggling between two opposing forces. You cannot serve two masters. You must decide either to serve God or serve that other master, whoever it is. And when you serve a master other than God, there really is only one other, isn't there? No matter what form he may disguise himself in, there is only one other master. Now, I want to share something with you out of my personal experience. I don't want you to misunderstand me. I don't want those of you who perhaps don't have wives that are in harmony with you, that you want to run off and leave them. That's not what I'm saying. Those of you that are in jobs where you have this constant pulling, I'm not telling you to go down there tomorrow morning and quit. I'm concerned with what is in the hearts of God's people. This is what I have on my heart tonight, and I just want to share this with you. So many times, in order to do what we are trying to do, is serve God on the one hand, and on the other hand, trying to placate a situation that cannot be placated. While we are praying and asking God to provide healing in a situation, whether it be a marriage or a job or whatever it is, I don't think we've got anybody here tonight that has a heathen woman stashed away, do we? I mean, maybe we do. I don't know all of you. So somebody might. I guess you could have a heathen man stashed away the same way. I don't think we have anybody here like that. But if we do, you know that God's speaking to you, don't you? If we do, you know that it's wrong and you better get rid of it right quick. I don't believe that's really what God wants to say to us tonight. I believe what he wants to say is this other that we're coming at. I want to share with you just by way of personal testimony what will happen in your life if you will put all of your chips, if you'll pardon my language, on God. Do you understand what I say? Put all of your money on God. Don't hedge your bets on anybody else, because in anybody else, any greater than God. And whoever is in second place is so far down here when you compare him with God Almighty, there isn't any comparison. It's the greater one that already lives inside you. If you're born again, of the Word and of the Spirit, it's the greater one that lives in you. He's greater. I don't care what it is. He's greater than that. I don't care what the difficulty is. I don't care what the problem is. But it hurts to see people torn. It hurts to see people trying to live two kinds of lives. I have a wife to say to me, I'm trying to do the best I can with my husband. I'm trying to do what he wants. You know, I need to be in subjection to him. I'm trying to do what he wants. And last night we went out to a nightclub and he got half stewed. I didn't drink too much. I only had two or three, you know, just to be sociable, kind of go along with him. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That is not going to work on your husband. That won't work on your husband. You've taken the devil's side when you do that. God help us. God help us. Put your trust in God Almighty. He's the one that can set your husband free. He's the one that can provide healing there. Put your trust in Him. Don't put your trust in the devil's work. God does not need the devil's tools to coax your husband into the kingdom. God doesn't need the devil's tools to coax your boss into the kingdom of God. What your husband needs, or what your boss needs, or whatever it is, I'm just using those as examples, you understand. If God's ministering this to you, then you know what the situation is, and I'm sure that by His Spirit, He can translate this inside your heart. You don't need, and God does not need, the devil's tools to get His work done. He's got more than enough power to take care of it. And what He needs is your believing prayer and your faithfulness. A little over three years ago, I was a dead churchman. I mean dead, on the inside. I was living and breathing, and I had as much energy as I have now. But I was dead on the inside. My wife, bless her heart, she got hungry for God. And she went after Him with all she had. But those of you who knew me in that day know what kind of a man I was. And I ruled my home with an iron fist. And she didn't say boo unless I said it was okay. And then she only said it one time and quietly. And I'm not exaggerating, and I'm not really saying that for effect. That's really how it was. I was a solid jerk. I mean it. A solid jerk. God had given me a precious gift. One of His daughters as a wife. And I treated her miserable. I don't know why she didn't leave me. Well, I do now. Because she loved me. God had given her to me. And it was a permanent arrangement as far as He was concerned. And as far as she was concerned. But I had no interest in the things that she was interested in. She wanted to go on and find out about the Holy Ghost. She wanted to go on and get all of God. She wanted to go on and serve God. I wasn't interested in those things. And one night she decided, while I was out of town, that she would just give me up to the Lord. And she would go on and do what God had called her to do. And she went over into a trailer and got filled with the Holy Ghost and came home speaking in other tongues. I didn't know it till the next night. And she knew. She knew that if I had been home, I would not have let her go. But when she decided to go all the way with Jesus, when she decided not to have something back here jerking away at her, but to put God first, then God answered the prayer that she'd been praying, also the one I'd been praying. She didn't know I was praying. I didn't know she was praying. But when she decided to go all the way, God did a number inside me. I mean, He turned me right back up. And I thought all those years I was something special. And like I told you, I was a class A jerk. Now, if it had not, and I will tell you as a husband, for those of you who have this situation, and whether it be a marriage or whether it be a child or whether it be an employment situation, whatever it is, you cannot live like this for long. A man can't serve two masters. You've got to serve one, only one, and that's God Almighty. If you're smart, that's the one you'll serve. But when she went on with the Lord, God changed me. He just changed me. He changed our marriage. He changed our home. And if it had not been for that, I've shared this with some of you. If it had not been that my wife decided, I'm going all the way with Jesus, come what may, I'm going on with Him. If she hadn't decided that, I would still be a dead, dirty churchman. Because she decided that she'd go all the way with the Lord. I met Jesus as my personal Savior. And I came into the kingdom of God in 1975. And I was filled with His Spirit shortly thereafter in 76. And those of you that know me know what a beautiful thing God has been doing for me. Now we'd all go back to that day when she decided. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not going to live pulled apart like this. I'm going all the way in. I'm not going to live a double life. I'm not going to have anything double in my life at all. I've got no room for it. I'm so open for Jesus that there's no room for anything else in there that conflicts. And because of that, you see what God has done. I want to encourage you tonight that if there's anybody here that is leading a double life of any kind, that you leave it here tonight. Don't you live it another minute. Don't you live pulled and twisted on the inside for another minute because you don't have to. Jesus Christ is enough. He's more than enough. Give yourself to Him. Decide to serve Him with all that you have and all that you are. You don't want to end up like Solomon. Praise God, I don't want to end up like Solomon. Praise God, I'll not end up like Solomon because I know in whom I believe. So what if you must suffer reproach for the cause of Christ? So what if somebody doesn't like your religion? So what if somebody thinks you're a jerk? So what if somebody thinks you're a fanatic? There's coming a day when there are going to be people gathered around the throne of God worshiping and singing His praises. Don't you want to be with us? I tell you, I'm going to be there. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise the Lord. There's going to be a wonderful time around that throne. It's pretty good right now. You want to know the truth? Now I want you to turn over to Revelation, the third chapter. I want you to see something here. Revelation chapter 3. Let me just interject a little parenthesis here. Sometimes when I preach, I'm not sure that I'm getting across what I'm trying to get across. I can't always tell. But I trust the Holy Spirit of God. And I trust Him to be ministering in the hearts of those of you who are sitting out there tonight. Those of you for whom this message is tonight, I trust the Holy Spirit of God to be ministering into your hearts. I don't know who you are, but God knows. He knows what your need is tonight, and He's trying to help you. God knows that He wants to help you. Listen to His word. Revelation chapter 3, I want you to see what Jesus has to say to two groups of people. First of all, beginning to read at the 14th verse, a familiar passage of Scripture. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, will sup with him, he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. I praise God that I have made the decision in my life that Jesus will never say this to me. These words will never come from my Savior's lips to me as I stand here before you. He'll never say that to me. I don't want him to ever say it to any of you. Some of you may wonder, how can I say that with such confidence? Because the Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit that I'm his child and I know it. And you can too. This is the word I believe that you want Jesus to speak to you. It begins in verse 4. Rather, verse 7. Same chapter, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast. Let no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now the decision that we all make is, what will our Savior say to us? Will he say, I know thee, thou hast a little strength, but thou hast kept my word, and thou hast not been ashamed of my name and not denied it? Or will he say, I wish you would have been either cold or hot. I wish you would have been one or the other. No man can serve two masters. Or either he'll love the one and hate the other, or he'll hold to the one and despise the other. It's impossible. I urge you,
hallelujah,
with joy, I urge you to serve God with all that you are, with all that you have. If you want to know the truth, I still don't know why this message needs to be preached. I still don't know it. But I trust some of you do. Serve God. Him only. Be not ashamed of the Lord Jesus. Be not ashamed of his words. I know that in some of the places that you work, it's not fashionable to be a Christian. I know that in some of your homes, it's not fashionable to be a Spirit-filled believer. I know that in some of your Christian associations, it's not popular to be a person who speaks in tongues. But Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me and ashamed of my words, so will I be ashamed of thee when I stand before my Father and at his angels. Now, God has not commissioned any of us, I don't believe, to take full page ads in the newspaper. Nor has he commissioned us to bolt into our house tonight and say, hey, dad, hey, wife, hey, husband, I speak in tongues. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I don't care what the devil is going to do, because Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. But Peter does say, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, always be prepared to give a defense for the hope that is within you. Always be prepared. And I know that some of us are unwilling from time to time to defend that hope that is within us. That person that you know needs to be saved, you know that a bondage needs to be broken in their life. If you never share the Word of God with them or the Word of your testimony, how do you think they are ever going to know? If my wife had never shared with me what had happened to her, I'd still be lost. There may be someone out there who is still lost or who is still unfulfilled because you've not been willing to share the fullness of what you know. Don't allow God's enemy and your enemy to rob you or her or him of the fullness of God's blessing. You cannot live a double life. You might as well decide now to serve God and Him only. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Your promise, as our brother sang tonight, "No, never alone," that You will never, ever forsake us, that, lo, You are with us always. Right now, this very moment, and every minute from here on, You are with us. I thank You for that, Father. We all thank You for it. We thank You for the assurance that even though we may be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, that Thou art with us. Sometimes, Lord, when we walk through that valley, we think it really is death. But You said in the Word that it's not really death, it's only the shadow of it. We're sorry, Father, sometimes that we allow shadows to frighten us. We allow the enemy to throw fear into us. We allow him to through lies and through deceit, to bind us and bind the Word of God in us. Father, we'll not live a double life. We'll no longer compromise that which we know to be true. For, Father, as clearly as we say it, if we do compromise Your Word, and if we do compromise Your testimony, that person with whom we're compromising may wind up in hell because of it, or may go through life under Satan's bondage because we were too embarrassed, may never find the fullness of the Spirit of God because we were embarrassed, because we were concerned about what they might think about us. I thank You, Father, that You have given us a glorious gospel. I thank You, Lord, for Your promise that the gospel is the power of God. The Word of God itself is the power of God. And You promised, Lord, that we are to overcome the devil by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. That there's power in that. I thank You, Father, for Your promise to honor that which we speak in Your name. Give us a burning desire, Father, by Your Spirit. I mean a burning desire. Lord, in the hearts of every person who's here tonight, a burning desire to tell others about Jesus. A burning desire to tell those that are brethren about the fullness of the Spirit. A burning desire to tell those that are bound about freedom and liberty. A burning desire to tell those that are sick that they don't need to be. We want so much, Father, to see men and women go free. But we know that we must share the Word. That we must run the risk of reproach. We must run the risk of embarrassment, laughter, yea, even derision, sometimes in our own home. But I thank You, Father, that the Word of God never returns void. Even though there may be laughter to greet the sharing of the Word. Hallelujah. 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 When we trust You, and are led by Your Spirit, You'll turn that laughter to rejoicing. Thank You, Lord. You'll turn those who have derided and reproached to those that would come and say, "Yes, truly, Jesus has loved me." We thank you for that promise, Lord, and we claim it as our own. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.